Well, the thing that sits at the very centre of our celebration, of the Christian celebration of Christmas, is the same thing that sits at the centre, at the very heart of the universe. Now, what is there at the heart of the universe? What happens when we strip everything back? What do we see? Well, there are many answers that people would offer to that question. There are people who say that there is nothing. That is, when you strip everything back, when you go back to what's at the core of our universe, it just kind of exists. It kind of sprang into existence. Alternatively, people would say that there was chaos. There were spiritual beings, gods or demons perhaps, or perhaps even non-spiritual beings, just sort of forces jostling for preeminence. Or maybe there was a single solitary power, some set of rules or force or a single solitary God. What is it that sits at the heart of the universe, at the very center of it? Well, the Christian answer is far more wonderful, far more satisfying, and yet definitely more complex than any of those options. At the heart, at the center of our Christian celebration of Christmas is us remembering that at the very center of our universe is this person who is called the Word and another person called God. Have a look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When was the Word? In the beginning. Time did not exist without Him. Where was the Word? He was with God. And what was the Word? Everything that God is, the Word also is. Now, this is an incredible thing to say. John is telling us the story of one who is distinct from God and yet completely unified with God. There is union without fusion. There is distinction without separation. And just so we don't miss it, John underlines it, verse 2, He was with God in the beginning. Everything God is, this Word is too. Everywhere in time and space and beyond, anywhere God is, this Word is there too. There is union without fusion. There's distinction without separation. And this is incredibly complex. But it is wonderful and satisfying because it means we don't believe in a lonely God. You see, relationships, communication, care, love, togetherness, we know those things matter so much. And the reason that those matter so much is because they matter to God Himself. They are part and parcel of who God is, of who the Creator is. The world doesn't exist without cause or reason. The world is not the result of battling gods or forces. God didn't make the world because He was lonely. Rather, verse 3, through Him, through the Word, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, John, who wrote this book, he was a religious Jewish person. He knew that God was responsible for the world. But how did God do it? God did it by speaking. He did it through the Word. And so who is responsible for creation? Well, John says the Word is. Everything was made through Him. Nothing was made without Him. He made it all. Now, again, this is complex, but it is good and satisfying as an answer because it means our world exists for a reason. We're not here by mistake. The Christian God is not a lonely, solitary power who makes something and perhaps might love it. No, He already knows love. Love between God and the Word. There's already teamwork. There's cooperation and communication. The Christian God is not like a clockmaker who makes a clock. There's some value to that description, but the problem is that you wind up a clock and just kind of let it go, don't you? The clockmaker leaves it or sells it. Certainly he stands back at a distance from it, but that's not what the Word does. The world was made through Him, but John writes in verse 4, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. See, the Word doesn't stand at a distance, nor does the Word fill the gaps for our existence. No, the Word provides everything that takes place. That breath that you just took without even noticing, that was your diaphragm and your lungs and your brain working together according to God's good design. But at the same time, the Word is responsible for that. keeping us alive, upholding those things. You see, at the heart of our universe, at the very center of it, is this God who is love and light and life. And without this God, without God and the Word, everything would fall into darkness and disconnection and death. Light and love and light are found in God and in the Word. And that is what we really need. And Christmas time actually shows us how much we need those things. See, we just don't have enough life, and yet we've had more than enough of death, haven't we? How much more keenly do we feel the loss of loved ones than when we're celebrating? We miss their face around the Christmas tree in the morning. We miss their presence at the table. We miss the food that they used to make. We miss the letter they used to send, or we miss the opportunity to send them a letter or make that phone call. Nor do we have enough love, and yet we've had more than enough of disconnection. Christmas time shows up when there's relationships that are sour. We've set up traditions intended to show generosity, but they boil down to obligation. We want to show other people we love them, and yet we get it wrong. We buy the wrong gift. And when our expectations are so high, it's easy to hurt each other. Nor do we have enough light, and yet we've had more than enough darkness. Did anyone else have that, you know, singular Christmas joy of getting into a busy car park and fighting over car parking spaces with other drivers? What about seeing other people, or perhaps even yourself, you know, rush to try and get the last thing off the shelf before someone else does? Or what about, you know, when you're doing your Christmas shopping, there's one more thing you need to get, and then you have that inevitable meltdown? Maybe it's the kids, maybe it's the parents. Depends on the trip, doesn't it? Christmas time can highlight our sense for these things, our need for light and love and light, and yet we know that we need those things all the time. We know we live in a world of darkness and disconnection and death. It's not just special occasions. We need that stuff all the time. We ourselves, and not just out there, it's in ourselves, we are not as gracious and kind and loving as we ought to be. We hurt others with our attitudes and actions. And so, of course, we need light in the darkness, love in the disconnection, life in death. And what we are celebrating at Christmas, this thing that sits at the very center of the universe, is the thing that has come to us. Have a look at verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Do you see the miracle of Christmas? The Christian God is not the watchmaker who sets things going and then sits back. No, the Christian God not only stands behind every moment of existence, the Christian God steps directly into history. Not only through the prophets of the Old Testament, not only through miraculous deeds, but right into history, he becomes what we are. The Word, that one who is everything that God is, became meat. God became human. The thing that he sits at the center of our universe became one of us. And John saw it, and his friends, they witnessed it. Look at verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John witnessed the fullness of the grace and truth of Jesus, and he knew that could only mean that he was from God. He recognized, you see, the family likeness. Only God could be gracious like that. Only God could be truthful like that. Only God could have that light and love and life in himself. John could see it. And if you read the story he writes of Jesus, you'll see it too. Jesus had not only a lot of grace and truth, no, he was full of grace and truth. And he was exactly what you'd expect if God would show up. Love and honesty in full measure. There was no hint of corruption or cruelty or deception. No, he called people out for doing the wrong thing. And yet he was, as serious as he was about it, he was also serious about forgiving them. When people were in darkness, he recognized it and he brought light. When people were in disconnection from God, he brought God's love. When people were dead, even, he made them alive. Why would the Word become flesh? Why would he do it? Well, it's certainly not for the recognition. Verse 10 and 11 tell us he was in the world and the world was made through him. Sorry, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. We know how the story ended for Jesus. The story begins on Christmas Day and it ends at Easter. His own disciples abandoned him. One of them betrayed him. His own leaders handed him over to the Romans, who mocked him and beat him and spat on him and hung him up on a cross to die. He didn't do it for the recognition. Why would he do it? Why would the Word become flesh? Why would the invulnerable become vulnerable for us? Verse 12 tells us, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh so that we might become children of God. He became like us so we might become like him. He became as we are so we might become as he is. You know, the Word, the Lord Jesus, he was so full of truth. He knows our darkness and our disconnections. He knows our inevitable death. And he came to take our burdens, every single one of them. He took them down to the hellish death that those things deserve. He is so full of grace. And so he brought his light and love and life. And I want to finish by very deliberately asking you whether you've received the Christmas present. Whether you've received the Christmas present that God has for you. Have you received that all-important Christmas present? Do you recognize just who it was who was in the manger, the Creator in creation? Do you believe in his name? Do you trust that he was who he said he was? Do you trust that he did what he did for you? He is literally only a prayer away. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me, to join in the Amen at the end, and to know, whether it's for the first time or the thousandth time, that you truly are a child of God, that he became as we are, so that we might become as he is. Receive God's gift, for he became like us, he died for us. This is Jesus, this is our God. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we know that we lack grace and truth. We are trapped in a world, trapped in our own lives of darkness and disconnection and death. We praise you that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you that he is full of grace and truth, and we thank you that he brought your light and love and life into the world. Make us trust him. Make us like him more and more, and help us to celebrate that moment when he was born to be like us, so that we may be born to be like him. Amen.